great lessons, you know, learn about nature. So that's what we did. So
oh, okay.
We were in Long Valley at that time, and it was around 2000, you know, maybe two or three. And we had one hive, and we were very lucky. It went well, and the first hive at the first harvest gave us 80 pounds of honey.
Oh, my God. Is that good or bad
it's
for a hive?
It's very good. It's very, very good for the first year. Usually, you don't get that much honey, and you don't want to harvest any honey the first year because the bees need the honey for the winter. But we... So we harvested our honey, and we were just thinking, what are we going to do with all this? So we went to see the farmer next door, and I said, hey, would you consign this for us? And he said, sure. And that's how we started.
Oh, my gosh.
And,
okay.
The issue is that he sold all the honey in 3 days.
Oh, geez.
It was a good issue to have, but that was very, revealing for us. There's a market for that. For people who are looking for natural and good products, raw honey was very popular. So that's how we started.
Mm-hmm.
And from, one hive, we went to 40 and then 100 and so on and so forth. But I have to be fair, and this is really my husband's business.
Oh, okay.
I am helping whenever I can, but I'm not the one working the bees. I learned a lot. We do a lot. It's very important for us also to be on the educational part. So,
okay.
That's what I'm doing here today. But I do a lot of presentations to garden clubs and schools and so on and so forth. Because there is a misconception and a bad reputation for bees, because they sting.
Yes.
So, I think it's part of a beekeeper's role to let people know that we desperately need them, and especially right now.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what we do. And we moved to the farm. We are in Milford. We are on Rick Road in Milford, and we moved to that farm maybe 8 or 9 years ago.
Oh, okay.
Which is great, because we had a lot more space to put more hives on the farm, and, Hunterdon County is so beautiful, a lot of farms, a lot of orchards around. So we work hand-in-hand with the farmers around us. We pollinate their crops, and everybody's happy.
Mm, very much so and all. Now, about how much space does a hive need or a colony need to be productive then?
I don't think there is a minimum space as long as you're close to flowers. You see a lot of people having hives on their roofs.
Mm-hmm.
As long as they can fly and find whatever they need,
right?
That's all we need.
Oh, okay.
So there is not, as long as they have sun and water close to them, they will be happy.
Okay.
So I wouldn't say there is a minimum acreage.
Acreage and stuff. Okay. So you have, how many hives? How big a farm do you have over there?
Well, we have 12 acres, and we probably have, I would say, maybe 40 to 45 hives on the farm.
Okay.
What we are doing on the farm is that my husband built a lot of hives from different countries to show people, So from those top-bar hives, Kenyan top-bar hives to... British ones and Belgians. I mean, everybody had their own theory and their own thing to start with. So we have all those hives on the farm, and all others, all the others, other hives we have are pollinating farms around. So
that's
what we do. So a lot of, not only in Hunterdon County, but Morris County, Central Jersey, I would say.
Okay.
So
you cover a big area then.
Yeah, we cover a big area, which, as long as we work with farmers. They give us access to the property, and we don't charge them because, they host our hives all year round. So this is great. Everybody's happy.
Right.
And that's how we work.
Very good. What we'll do is we're going to take a commercial break. When we come back, we're going to talk about what's actually inside those little bee houses and how Mrs. Bee keeps things all nice and clean in there. All right, so stay tuned, and we're going to come right back.
Join the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce and the Flemington Community Partnership for their Card Club networking event hosted by Northfield Bank on Thursday, September 28th from 5:30 to 7:30 p.m. at Northfield Bank's Flemington office right here on Main Street. For details and to RSVP, visit hunterdon-chamber.org or call 908-782-7115. See you there.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HuntertonChamberRadio.com, brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
This is Tony Clark, paraplanner at Patton Heidi & Associates. Americans believe they should be in charge of their own future, how they will live tomorrow. Since 1894, Ameriprise Financial has worked for their clients' futures, helping millions of Americans retire on their terms, when they want, where they want, doing what they want. Today, Patton Heidi & Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., remains true to the vision of always putting clients first. We are ready to help you put a confident retirement more within reach. Put the strength of a leader in retirement planning to work for you through a personal one-to-one relationship. Patton Heidi & Associates will work with you to develop a plan to help you pursue your retirement goals. Call today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor, Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC.
This is Chamber President Chris Phelan inviting you to the 29th Annual Business and Home Expo with our Restaurant Showcase. This wonderful event will happen on Thursday, November 9th at our new location, Next Level Arena on Case Boulevard in Flemington from 2 to 7 p.m. If you're a business or organization and would like to participate, contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or visit our website at huntertonchamber.org.
Okay, we are back. This is Dr. Miola from Nutrimosa Flemington, Hunterdon County's most experienced healthcare provider. And with us, we have our guest is Baby Tasso from Tasso Apiaries Incorporated. So during the commercial break, we were talking about good housekeeping deals going on and how Mother Nature is very good about all this. And B was telling me the exciting things that the bees actually do with the propolis and how they keep bacteria down in there and viruses and everything. It's just incredible. If we could do that here and in our homes and stuff, we'd be a lot healthier and all. So why don't you go ahead and tell us a little bit more about the makeup of what we see out there in the bee yards and who's actually in those boxes and stuff.
Sure. So you just pronounced the right word. The bee yard is an apiary. For people who are wondering, what is this crazy word we are using? It's the fancy and scientific word for a bee yard.
Mm-hmm.
So, so if you are using the regular, square boxes that you see all over the countryside, you usually have two brood boxes, and those brood boxes are really the bee's home. That's where everything is happening. That's where the queen is living. That's where she lays eggs, around 1,500 a day.
Wow.
And that's where the workers are and so on and so forth. If you go up, we're going to go up, the little apartment here. So you have those two brood boxes that we do not touch. Those two boxes are for the bees. So depending on, your philosophy, after those two brood boxes, you would put a queen excluder. We do. Some people don't. So the queen excluder would be a grid, small enough for the worker bees to go. They can go through, back up and down.
Okay.
But the queen would not.
So there's a different size physically of what a queen looks like as compared to a worker bee.
Yes,
the
queen is a lot longer, different color, and she's much bigger. So it's obvious when she's by herself, when she's surrounded by, hundreds or thousands of bees and you have to locate her. It's not that easy.
Right.
That's why we mark her.
Oh,
so,
okay.
We mark the queen and it's a standard. It's an international standard.
Oh,
so,
okay.
The colors, we have five different colors.
Okay, what are those?
Good question. Let's see if I remember. You have green, yellow, white, red and blue.
Okay, and what do they stand for?
It's just the fact that when you have a new queen, you mark her. So this year is white.
Oh.
So when you mark your queen white, and maybe in 2 years you open your hive, you know that this queen was born 2 years ago. The color rotates every year.
Okay.
And that's the same everywhere around the world.
Oh,
so
interesting.
If you mark your queen. So it's much easier to locate a queen when she's marked. She has this. So you have this little, this little cylinder. You catch her, and you gently push her until she has her back against that grid, and you put a little dot of paint, a special paint, obviously,
okay.
And
mm-hmm.
then you release her. So in order for her not to get into the supers or medium or whatever you want to call them, because you don't want eggs in your honey, that's why we would use a queen excluder.
Oh, okay. But about how long does a queen live?
A queen lives 5 years.
5 years, oh, okay.
So 5 years, that's why you have five colors. However, like any female, as she's aging, she's not as productive. You know, she's not laying as many eggs as we would like. So mm-hmm. At our apiary, we requeen every 3 years.
Oh, every 3 years.
Yes.
Okay. And how do you go about doing that then?
You catch the old queen, and unfortunately, you have to get rid of her and put a new queen in there.
Does she go to the retirement queen house?
Yes, if you want to call that, yes. But you can't have two queens in the same box.
Oh, no? What happens then?
They would fight.
Oh,
they
okay.
They would fight until there is only one, surviving.
Oh, okay. So you only have one queen per hive then?
One queen per hive.
Okay.
And those bees inside the box knows... They know exactly who is the queen. They would not be mistaken and go into another hive.
Oh, okay.
They are yet used to the scent of their queen, to the pheromone of their queen.
Pheromones
yeah.
and stuff. Oh,
and,
isn't that interesting?
And they would not, they'd never make mistakes. They know where, they know where they live.
Uh-huh. So who else lives in a hive then and stuff? You got one queen, you've got these other, what you call them, workers. Now, what is a worker? How long do they live? And how many are in there?
Well, it depends on the season. You know, full season, let's say that when you start a beehive from scratch and you buy a 3-pound package of bees, you probably have 25,000 bees to start.
Oh, wow.
Right now, and we're, it's starting to be chilly. So I would say beginning of August, you can go up to 95,000 bees in a beehive. So you have only one queen.
That is incredible. Yeah. All in that one little box?
Yes. Yes.
Jeez.
And one queen, mainly workers, and the worker bees are all female.
All
so,
female,
this is,
of course.
We
look
have,
at this.
Yeah, but we have a... You know, that bee movie that went out a few years ago set people wrong. You know, the females are the worker bees. You have drones, and drones are the male, and it's only 1% of the population.
Oh,
that
okay.
Are drones, and they are only there for reproductive purposes. So.
And then all the other time they're sitting around drinking beer?
They are, almost. They have been, you have to serve them. A drone doesn't know how to eat, doesn't know how to eat. So that's why the worker bees are. Kicking them out in the fall because they don't want to keep inactive bees during the winter. They don't want someone who doesn't do anything eating the honey they stored for the winter.
That would make sense then.
So that's what happens. So mainly females with very specific roles, but some are would go outside, gather the pollen, some will clean. I mean, that's why we have an observation hive in the store we have on the farm. So
oh, do you?
See
oh, okay.
You can see those bees, mm-hmm. being very active. Some you can see them bring the pollen. Some are taking dead bees outside. I mean, some are scouting bees, and sometimes if the beekeeper doesn't do his job or her job well, this beehive is getting crowded because on top of that queen excluder, you put those boxes to collect honey.
Oh, okay.
And as they need space to collect the honey. The bees do not know how much honey they need for the winter. So
right.
as long as there is space, they will fill it up with honey.
Oh, okay.
But if the space is full, they'll swarm away. Half of the colony will
So what is a swarm?
So a swarm is basically something, it's a phenomenon that happens when they are lacking space. So they are thinking, it's too crowded in there, so half of the population needs to get out. But in order to do so, they're going to manufacture a new queen. So
how do they do that?
A new queen is, so they will pick eggs that are less than 24 hours, and they're going to feed those eggs, and that become going to be larvae, They're going to feed them with royal jelly.
Royal jelly. We hear so much about that. Yes. What is royal jelly?
Well, royal jelly is a substance that the bees are manufacturing only when they are in need of a queen.
Oh, okay.
So, and that's the only thing that's going to differentiate a worker bee from a queen bee is the food they're going to get.
Isn't that something? Nutrition. Yeah. How important it is even in the bee population or in the world of honey.
So in order to make sure they raise a new queen, you know, they're going to feed 5 or 6 eggs,
okay,
a larva. And you're going to see in your beehive, and it's a really bad sign when a beekeeper is opening the beehive and see those queen cells that are shaped like peanut, you know, real peanuts.
They look like peanuts.
They're vertical.
Oh.
And when you see this, this is not good. It means that they're preparing to go.
Uh-huh.
So
is there anything that the beekeeper could do to stop that?
You could take the frames and start a new hive.
Oh, okay.
Because, you know, you're going to have a new queen in there.
Right.
But to go back to the swarming issue, so what's going to happen is that those bees are going to develop, and at one point they're going to have this very specific noise telling the others, I'm ready to get out. Come on and open that cup. I want to get out. So they will, and the first queen is going to get out. The first thing she's going to do, she's going to go and kill the other queen bees in there.
So one queen, one hive.
Right.
Oh.
And that's the only time where you will have two queens in that hive. The funny part is that the new queen stays in the old hive and the old queen flies away with half of the colony. And so if you are catching this, this is very unbelievable. It's very noisy and it's really strange. You see that cloud of bees getting out of your hive, landing, you know, on a tree because they need to find a new space.
Mm-hmm.
So those scouting bees are going to go around and find a perfect space, dark space, where they could, you know, establish a new hive.
So that could be inside somebody's house. It could be in a hollow tree.
Yes, exactly right.
Okay. So now, honeybees and stuff, they don't go into the ground, right? They like to be above ground.
Yes. And that's where when we get calls and say, I have a swarm in a tree, we always tell people, keep calm. You know, they're going to go away.
Uh-huh.
If they don't go away, they call us, you know, meaning they didn't find the right place. So, that, you know, and then we put them in a new beehive.
Now, how do you go capture a swarm then?
Well, you know, when the swarm is in a branch, they are all around the queen. So they are really focusing on that queen. So you would shake the branch. You would literally shake the branch into a bucket.
Oh, okay.
And put that bucket, you know, in a beehive. However, sometimes you shake, you put this in the bucket, and you would see the bees flying right back up, meaning you didn't get the queen.
Oh, okay.
So they will follow the queen wherever. So that's how you populate a new beehive.
Wow. So that's really, you don't have to pay for any of that then, huh?
No. And this year was a really bad year, or good year. It depends on how you want to.
What do you think was the cause for that?
I don't know. We don't really know.
Mm-hmm.
But it was warm, and the beginning of the season, almost all the hives we had on the farm swarmed.
Oh, did, wow! So you really increased your population then?
Exactly right. So that was good. I mean, we were able to catch all those swarms.
All right.
Sometimes they're too high, or you know.
Mm-hmm.
But we were lucky.
Wow. Oh, that's interesting, though. So,
we've
got in one hive, a box and stuff, we have one queen. She controls everything that's going on in there. And we have thousands of worker bees. Now, they don't get fertilized or anything. They're what, neutered, you were saying?
Yeah.
So they're not even worried about that kind of role of life and stuff.
No.
They're just there to work. And
Now,
when they go out and stuff, you're talking about going out and getting nectar. Now, what is honey really made up of?
It's nectar that the bees are going to go. So a bee has two stomachs. So, you know, they're going to go and get this nectar. And they're going to regurgitate this nectar in those little holes and mix to the pollen. And, you know, and then they're going to fan that liquid until you reach the perfect percentage of humidity.
Oh, okay. Oh, so they're very, very scientific about all this. Oh,
and when that percentage is reached, and I don't remember exactly the figure, they cap it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because if they cap it too early, it will still ferment.
Oh, okay.
So they cap it, you know, and that's their job.
That's pretty interesting. So they do all kinds of chemical mixings and everything else like that. Then.
Yeah.
So when I go to the farmers markets and stuff, I see them, they've got blueberry or they've got apple or they've got peach honey and stuff. How do they keep all those things separate then?
You put hives in those fields.
Oh,
you know,
okay.
We went pollinating the blueberry fields in South Jersey.
Oh, okay.
So what you do is that you put your beehives down there and until you see the flowers, and as soon as the flowers are done, you harvest. So you will have probably not 100%, but very close to 100% of that. So what people should know is that when you buy blueberry honey, it will not have the taste of blueberry.
Right.
Because we did not pollinate the fruit. We pollinated the flower.
So
it will be different taste, very different taste. But not blueberry. So people sometimes are very disappointed. So it doesn't taste like blueberry. So I, you know, when they come, we teach them, you know, and this is not going to be.
So it's quite a bit of education that you do at your farm there and all.
Yeah, we do tours and you know, part of the tour, the last part of the tour is tasting. We have, because we pollinated also buckwheat fields, you know, all kinds of things. We have friends with hives in Florida, so we have orange blossom. And this week, for the first time, we did infused lavender honey. So, you know, the lavender honey in itself, we have hives on a lavender farm. It's not, you cannot, you know, people were disappointed. Same thing.
Right.
You can't smell the lavender. Mm-hmm. So we had a lot of customers asking for that. So we infused the flower in warm honey for a few weeks.
Oh, okay.
And so we call it infused lavender.
Oh, okay.
Because we are very straightforward with people.
Right.
That's something we are. It's very important for us to, you know, our honey is local. You know, that's something also that people should know. It's not because you buy your honey in a farm stand that it's local honey.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're still part of the committee at the Department of Agriculture to try to rule this, but it's not easy. I mean, people could buy honey anywhere and put their label in. It doesn't mean that it's local.
Exactly.
Honey.
Very, very interesting. We're going to stop. We're going to take a break here now, and we're going to come back and continue this great conversation. So hang on. This is Dr. Miola with Nutrimost of Flemington. Get healthy, Hunterdon, and we'll be right back.
USA Radio News with Jason Wirt.
This area in Houston, Texas, that was subject to this flooding is going to take a very long time for us to be able to overcome.
Texas Governor Greg Abbott appearing on CBS this morning. The governor ordering more National Guard troops into the Houston area to help with flood relief. The governor said he's sending 1,000 more troops into Houston today. The governor said he's also going to be heading to Corpus Christi and other areas to evaluate damage.
We will be surveying the Corpus Christi area, as well as areas like Rockport that were hardest hit by the hurricane. These are areas where we have already begun the cleanup process.
Harvey's shutting down two major airports in Houston. Bush and Hobby Airport officials say they're monitoring the situation and will try to resume operations once it's safe. They were shut down over yesterday because of all roads in and out of the airports being completely flooded. You're listening to USA Radio News.
Hi, I'm Wade Allyroot for pre1933.com. I've been the single biggest BBB, backer, believer, and buyer of gold for over 15 years. Gold was $300 per ounce when I started buying. Today it's over $1,200. But now I've found a better way to buy gold. All those other firms are selling gold bullion. It's not rare, it's not proven, and they have a huge markup because they've commissioned salesmen. I have found the Uber of gold. This company, pre1933.com, will forever change the way gold is sold. Pre1933.com is a wholesaler of pre-1933 gold. They have no salesmen, zero commission, prices no one can compete with. All conservatives understand the hole America's in. We owe $20 trillion in debt. We all know gold is the answer. It's our insurance policy. But now you can buy your gold wholesale, just like dealers, without commission salesmen involved. Call 855-PRE-1933. That's toll-free, 855-773-1933, or go to pre1933.com. You'll never buy gold from anyone else ever again.
A New York politician is using the situation in Texas to take a shot at Texas Senator Ted Cruz.
Congressman Peter King tweeted over the weekend, "I won't abandon Texas the way Ted Cruz did New York." He's referring to the Texas senator's opposition for federal aid back in 2012 for Superstorm Sandy victims in the New York region. While Cruz had argued the bill to supply that aid had lots of pork or unrelated spending, Cruz didn't respond directly to King's comments, but asked those not in Texas who want to help Hurricane Harvey victims to donate to the Red Cross. Scott Pringle, New York.
Dozens of illegal immigrants are facing charges after authorities discovered a new border tunnel near San Diego. 30 illegal immigrants using the tunnel were busted over the weekend. The tunnel starts in Mexico and ends near the Olay Mesa border crossing. Officials say over 20 of those arrested are Chinese nationals and the rest are Mexican nationals. The San Diego Tunnel Task Force now working with Mexican officials to figure out who's responsible. USA Radio News.
Hi, my name is Kip Herridge, and I'm the founder of the Vertical Research Advisory, or VRA. After 15 years on Wall Street, I founded the VRA in 2003, my daily investment newsletter that's been crushing the market for 14 years. I tell you what to buy and when to sell and take profits, and I only target stocks that have the ability to rise by 50% or more. For the first time, we're offering a free two-week membership. Simply go to VRAinsider.com. You also get my new book, Crash Proof Prosperity, Becoming Wealthy in the Age of Trump. Join us now at VRAinsider.com.
A memorial has been held for the Marines who were killed in a plane crash in the Mississippi Delta. Here's correspondent Randy Bell.
In New York Sunday, four military cargo planes flew a missing man formation over the Air National Guard base where nine Marines killed in a Mississippi crash were headquartered. Earlier,
Sergeant Major, call the roll.
Aye, aye, sir.
Those men were remembered at a memorial service. Their commanding officer said he wanted people to learn more about each Marine, and we found out that one was an artist, another a beekeeper, and one was a diehard Dallas Cowboys fan. The nine crew members were among 15 Marines who died in the crash along with a Navy corpsman last month. Randy Bell in Jackson.
Some anti-gun activists not happy with the preschool. Correspondent Chris Barnes tells you why.
Whole Hyde Academy is a private school in Woodstock, and it's defending its move, arguing the trip was educational in light of state-mandated curriculum about people like Annie Oakley and Davy Crockett, who saw guns as a big part of everyday life. The kids who went had permission slips signed by their parents, and they took a firearm safety course, and they did not actually shoot any weapons while at the range. Nevertheless, the Georgia Department of Early Care and Learning says it's received complaints and is now investigating. For USA Radio News, I'm Chris Barnes.
USA
And we're back again. This is Dr. Miola with Get Healthy Hunterdon. And on Tuesday's weather is a chance of showers, mainly after 3 p.m., mostly cloudy with a high near 70. Northeast winds 6 to 10 miles per hour. Chance of precipitation is 40%. New precipitations amount of less than a tenth of an inch possible. Tuesday night, chance of showers mainly before 3 a.m., mostly cloudy with a low around 57 degrees. Northeast winds from 7 to 10 miles per hour. Chance of precipitation is up to 50%. New precipitation amounts of less than one-tenth of an inch are possible. And that's also a good temperature that we were talking about for the bees to be active and getting out there and getting some more of that nectar. So stay tuned for more information. And we're back with Get Healthy Hunterdon, and today I've got, this is Dr. Miola with Nutrimosa Flemington, I've got B. Tasso from Tasso Apiaries Incorporated, and during the break and stuff, we were just having a great talk about all the different flavors of honey and how they actually get them and, you know, processing it. So there's a controversial thing that's going around and stuff. What is raw? What's pasteurized? What's homogenized? Why do you want to go to a apiary facility like Tasso's as compared to going to your grocery store and buying the things that are on the shelf and all? So B has some interesting information to talk about that. So go ahead, B, tell us about those things.
Well, let's put it this way. If you go to buy your honey from a beekeeper, you know what you're getting. So, you know, mainly people go to a beekeeper because they want to get the real deal, if I may say so. Raw honey, just like you just explained 2 minutes ago, is a honey that has not been pasteurized. Not heated, not filtered.
Right. So what pasteurization and stuff, what kind of temperatures are we talking about?
I don't know, but, you know, those honey you buy in a supermarket are heated above, sometimes about 400 degrees.
Wow. And you were saying over 110 or 115, 20 degrees and stuff. That's enough to start damaging the,
yes,
the structure of the enzymes and some of the components of it.
150,
I would
150? Say. A little, if you are lower than that, you're good.
Okay.
You know? Because some people, so what you should know is that when you're going to buy raw honey, this honey is going to crystallize. It's a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, people come to us and say, oh, I threw a bottle of honey away because it was crystallized. And I say, well, that's good for my business.
Right.
But, you know, you should know that first, you know, as you may or may not know, honey never, ever goes bad. That's the only product on earth that never spoils.
Isn't that something? And that's been proven with the excavations,
yes,
over there in India, or even Egypt. Egypt and stuff with the pharaohs and stuff.
Yes, they tasted honey and it was crystallized, but really good. So,
what happens to if you have a jar of honey that crystallizes? What should you do to
We always tell people, you know, if it's in a glass, first, never put it in a microwave. That's the first thing I should say. Never, because even at the lowest level, the microwave will kill everything.
Mm.
So we tell people, you know, run hot water or even boiling water. If it's in a glass jar, it will act as a double boiler, so it will be fine.
Okay.
However, if the you can also put it in the oven if your oven goes lower than 150 degrees.
Oh, okay.
Which is very unusual.
Uh-huh.
We are lucky to have one of these. But the plastic we sell, so we sell products in plastic or glass.
Mm-hmm.
The plastic we buy is okay to be put in the oven.
Oh, okay.
It will not damage the honey. It will not damage the bottles. It's you know, food grade plastic, which is, you know. But so that's what you buy when you buy from a beekeeper. So you know that the pollen and the good enzymes, everything you need, is still in the honey. We mainly sell raw honey to people who have very severe allergies. That's why it's very...
That was my next question.
Yes.
What is the controversy? Because, you know, medical community will say there's no evidence about honey being helpful for allergies, and we beekeepers know for a fact that, anecdotally, of course, though, that it's incredible.
It's incredible, and I have tons of emails of people saying, thank you, thank you, thank you. So it's the fact that the honey is behaving like a vaccine. You inject in yourself, if I may say so, what you're allergic to. So if you do it on a regular basis and on small doses, your body is going to build immunity to those allergies.
Isn't that something?
So that works very well with local honey, a teaspoon a day, not in a hot beverage, because that's also something you should know. If you put a teaspoon of honey in a cup of tea, you're cooking it, so it will not work.
Right.
However, you can put some in your tea, but you have to take a teaspoon of raw
directly
honey,
and stuff
directly
into it. No.
So and it will help you with your allergies. So if this is not enough, then you can take straight pollen. You know, straight we harvest pollen. On
now,
the farm.
How do you harvest pollen? Where is the pollen at, first of all, on a bee, and how do you get it?
So the bees are bringing this pollen inside the beehive because that's how they feed the baby bees.
Oh, okay.
So if you they carry this on the pollen basket on their legs.
Uh-huh.
So you have those little bowls, you know, yellow bowls that they're bringing back to the hive. So we put a trap in front of the hive.
Oh, okay.
And it's really a grid with little holes so the bee can get through, but she has to drop what she's carrying.
Oh.
And that drops into a basket. That's how we harvest. However, the pollen, they need the pollen. So you need to put this on and off and on and off because we need to share that.
Sure, okay.
But that's also extremely efficient. However, this is direct pollen. You know, you don't have any nectar whatsoever, so very powerful.
Mm.
You need to take this, you know, those little grains. You need to take 3 to start and then double every day to reach a teaspoon. And you should not take more than a teaspoon of bee pollen.
Oh, geez, okay.
Very, very powerful on your liver. So
okay.
You need to be careful.
Mm-hmm.
But it works very well as well. It's also, It reinforces your immune system, boosts your energy. Some people cannot live without the pollen. You know? You
hear so often and stuff that people take, honey for energy,
yep.
You know, the allergies to help with their immune system.
Yes. Yes.
Just incredible the variety of things that the human body really gets benefits from just such a simple process.
Yes.
That's going on out there.
Honey is a natural antibiotic, you know, so if you get a cut or whatever or burn, you know,
mm-hmm.
You just put some honey on your burn right away. It will not get red. You will not hurt.
Mm.
You know, there is a very famous hospital in France that treats people with very deep and very serious burns only with honey.
Isn't that
yeah,
something?
Yeah.
Oh,
a very it's a great thing to have in your pantry
mm-hmm.
for many many different reasons.
Wow!
You know? Even if you don't like honey, there are a lot of people who do not like the taste of honey.
Uh-huh.
You can cook with it, but you can It's first aid,
yeah.
You know, for any cut, burn, or whatever. So it's
Isn't
a great
that
thing.
Something?
Yeah.
So now the weather is starting to get a little cooler now and things. The flowers are going to start dying off. The bees
yep.
aren't going to have as much pollen or nectar to go out to get and things like that. So what happens when we get into the wintertime and stuff? Do the bees go south for the winter and stuff? Or
they stay with us.
Oh, okay. They come inside?
God. Yeah. So what happens is that the queen stops laying.
Okay.
Know? So the colony is going to, you know, by itself, going to be smaller.
Uh-huh.
And they will keep each other warm.
Warm.
They have enough honey. They need 60 pounds of honey to survive.
Okay.
A beehive needs 60 pounds of honey to survive the winter. So that's also the beekeeper's role to make sure they have enough.
Mm-hmm.
And they will stay in there and, you know, keep in the hive, you know. So we love very harsh winters.
Harsh winters and stuff, okay.
If we have snow, the snow is insulating the beehive.
Oh, okay.
You should know also that when it's really cold, you know, below zero here, it's still 90 degrees in there.
And
so
how do they maintain that heat?
That's the heat of their, you know, their bodies and all this. So
body heat and stuff.
Yes,
oh, okay.
Yeah, yeah. However, if it's in January, you have a, you know, that happens all the time, 55 degrees. They'll get out.
Oh.
And they're going to be this, you know, totally confused saying, okay, it's 55 degrees, no flowers out there. What's the problem? When they do this, they need energy to fly, and they eat more honey than they should.
Oh.
And then they're going to starve. Because
starve.
We cannot open the hive to put more.
So then how do you keep your colonies from starving then? Do you supplement?
No, not during the winter.
Okay.
You supplement in the spring.
Springtime?
And in the fall.
And so how do you supplement? What do you use?
We do pollen patties.
Pollen patties? That sounds like an interesting thing. What is a pollen patty made out of?
It's made of, you know, honey, pollen, all kinds of. You do like a kind of a solid candy.
Oh,
you know,
okay.
And you put it on top of the hive and they will get this
uh-huh.
whenever they need it.
So bee candy then?
Yes.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
But it's not good for humans.
You know, there's nothing bad in there. You could. So that's how we supplement.
Isn't that interesting? Oh, okay. Now, we were talking about the raw honey versus with all the active enzymes and the pollens and the nectar in it and all. And then we were talking about going down my grocery store shelf in the section with the honey up there and all, and I see all kinds of different varieties and things like that. What are the dangers about purchasing honey, shall we say, dangers, compared to, you know, having the raw honey?
Well, so what I would tell people, check the labels.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? A honey should be 100% honey.
Okay.
You know, if you see anything like corn syrup in there or sugar, that's not good.
Oh, no.
What people do is that in order to avoid crystallization on your shelf, you know, they do all kinds of tricks to avoid the honey from provide the honey from crystallizing.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, you have some good honeys in supermarkets. Just check the labels.
The labels. Yeah. Read your labels.
You don't
always important.
Corn syrup in your honey.
Yeah, why would you put a corn syrup in something like
because
that?
Because it's, you know what, it's cheaper to put, you know, you don't have to put a full bottle of honey. You do half honey, half corn syrup, then you can do more bottles for
right.
less money.
Oh, okay.
So, I would say this. Check the labels.
Right.
Some and the grocery stores are now doing a lot better job with that.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm.
So, but Check that.
Yeah.
Or if you buy a product with honey, supposedly honey, like cereal, check the ingredient list, because you have plenty of cereals called honey something honey. There's zero honey in there.
Isn't that something? Wow.
So that put a lot of people in trouble.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. Especially if you've got a sensitivity to those particular components and stuff then that you're trying to, you know, kind of buffer from happening and all. Well, this is fascinating, and, of course, we have to pay for the electric bill here and all. So we're going to cut for a commercial break, and we will be right back with Tasso Apiaries Incorporated.
Rapp Coins of Flemington, New Jersey has been in business for over 40 years. We are highly competitive buyers of gold, silver, and platinum coins, jewelry, and scrap metals, and have recently been named the exclusive gold buyer for Diamond Nation and HealthQuest. We also provide professional appraisals, sales and liquidation services for individuals, law firms, estate trustees, and bank trust departments in New Jersey and Philadelphia. Products and services include gold and silver, American and foreign coins, certified rare date and modern coins, numismatic supplies and books, gold, silver, and platinum bullion, paper currency, United States proof and mint sets, including current issues. From junior collector to the experienced investor, Rapp Coin has been for the industry since 1974. Founder and owner Randy Block has been an expert and an active member of the coin industry for over 45 years. Visit us at 56 Main Street in historic downtown Flemington or call toll-free 1-800-819-9875.
Hey, Big C here doing a little practicing for the Hunter County Chamber's 16th Annual Golf Classic. We're teeing off at Tuesday, October 3rd at Hawk Point Golf Club. The signature sponsor this year is Hunter Healthcare. Besides enjoying a great game of golf, this event is an excellent way for you to promote your business via our sponsorship opportunities, silent auction, and networking luncheon. The Golf Classic launches at 8:30 a.m. with registration, breakfast, and a putting warm-up. This scramble format will begin with a shotgun start at 10 a.m., plus we will have some exciting contests to enjoy throughout the day. Oh, yes, the winning foursome will be presented with the fabulous Hunterdon Cup. Talk about bragging rights. I got you this year, Team ExxonMobil. I'll see you on the first tee.
When it matters most, our award-winning team of emergency physicians and nurses provides sophisticated care 24 hours a day. Superior emergency care at a moment's notice. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care.
Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on Hunterdon Chamber Radio, WHCR, DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org.
Back, we're Get Healthy Hunterdon. This is Dr. Miola from Nutrimost of Flemington, Hunterdon County's most experienced healthcare providers and all. And on our show today, we have a B. Tasso from Tasso Apiaries Incorporated and all, telling us the fascinating world of honeybees and stuff, those little things that you see on your flowers and you're always wondering what the heck they're doing. They're out there collecting nectar and pollen and bringing it back to the hive where they're going to turn it into that delectable, that wonderful, that healthy honey that you get to taste and all. And B, why don't you tell us a little bit more about the girls?
About the girls. So we love them first. You know, you need to, and everybody should know that we desperately need them right now. It's we are in a a world where we use a lot of pesticides, a lot of things to make our life easier. But you know, on the other side, you kill those bees. I mean, we are killing those bees. So we need to be very careful. And that's why I'm here today. Also, you know, they if we didn't have bees, you know, one third of our food would be gone, and fruits and vegetables. And
isn't that incredible and stuff? Just from one little, you know, zone of pollination going on there and all.
And Einstein said, you know, if the bees are disappearing, 4 years later, human would disappear.
Oh, isn't that interesting?
So it's something we need to think about. And do not kill that insect. They are very useful. And they are a New Jersey insect, by the way. They are. Honeybee is the New Jersey insect.
Oh.
So we, you know, that's also part of our job to protect those bees, you know. And even though we take the honey from them, you know, it's just like a lot of customers says, is this your honey? And my husband says, no, it's not mine. I just stole it, which is the truth. But we and we only spoke about honey. But you know, when we harvest, we take the wax. We have great beeswax candles, you know, 100% beeswax, which is very environmental friendly. We do soaps. Everything we can get from those bees, we use it.
Isn't that amazing? How many things, how many products, you know, the bees provide for us that we can utilize and
so
all?
So honey is the most popular, but the beeswax is something that's very healthy also. We have propolis that we sell.
What is that? You hear all about
the
propolis.
The propolis is the substance that the bees are also manufacturing to fill a crack or, you know. So it's a kind of a glue, but it's very, very medicinal. So especially we have a lot of customers from Eastern Europe that cure everything with propolis. So
unofficially, though, here on this show, we cannot prove anything, so it's just for educational purposes.
Exactly right. But and you have all those things that, you know, that's what we do. It's so it's a small business. We do everything naturally. We never use any pesticides, any chemical. Even the candles, you'll see the tapers we have in our stores are colored with ground stones. So we use ground mica, red ground mica.
Isn't that something?
We do not use any. The soaps, we have no artificial coloring and so on and so forth. So that's what you should come and visit us. You know,
that's my next question. If we wanted to find out a little bit more or a lot more about this fascinating topic and stuff like that, where is your bee yard located?
So we are located on Rick Road in Milford, 54 Rick Road in Milford. So it was complicated to find us when I have a big flag with, you know, honey. So it's much easier. We sell our products in many farmers markets.
Oh, okay.
We have a lot of stores carrying our products, so you know, we are getting there. People said, "Oh, I saw your products here or there." So you can order online, you know, at tassoapiaries.com.
Okay.
You can order online. We have a Facebook page, which is tassoapiaries/buzzingacresfarm. That's
how interesting.
We do tours in the summer. We do tours on Sundays at 11 and 2.
Okay.
Those tours, you know, Jean-Claude will take you all over the farm and explain to you how he makes the candles and so on and so forth. You'll have honey tasting at the end.
Oh.
It's fun. And I am also available for, you know, talks wherever.
Oh, okay.
I do this for a lot of garden clubs you know, so that's what we do, basically. That's what we do. We're busy.
Busy, huh? All
we're
right,
busy.
Very good.
We're busy.
Very, very good. Any kind of final words and stuff? We have a few minutes to kind of wrap up with our time and all.
No, I thank you very much for having me.
This was just fascinating. In this hour, like it seems like all the hours that we do on the show here, Get Healthy 100, and just flies by with my guests. They are just so full of fascinating information and information that we can use to help promote our health and maintain our health at a level that is unrivaled at any other way of doing it and all. Whether you came from France and arrived here on the shores of the United States and finally settled here in beautiful Hunterdon County, or whether you were a native here of Hunterdon County and stuff, the products and the services that are provided here in Hunterdon makes you, you know, very, very proud to be part of all this going on.
Yes, and I would say, you know, become a beekeeper.
What is involved with being a beekeeper?
Well, it's, you know, we have a great beekeepers association here in Hunterdon County. It's the Northwest branch of the New Jersey Beekeepers. And you have a lot of seasoned beekeepers that are here to help you. I forgot to mention that we also sell all the woodware for the we work with the Amish. They do they do all the work, the wood for us, and we sell the bees.
Okay.
So it's It's not a great investment. You know, you could start with probably around $200 to $250.
Oh, wow, that's reasonable.
Yes. And you are helping nature and, you know, learning a great thing. And the community, the beekeepers community is great.
Really good support.
Yes,
so if you have questions, you can always tap the shoulder of somebody, you know, or come to a more solid, supported facility like yourself there at Tasso Apiaries Incorporated, which is always a good thing to do. Now, do you guys also provide classes and things like that?
We do not provide classes because we don't have time. So we always tell people, you know, we always tell, if you want to think about this, go to Rutgers. You know, Rutgers has a great beekeepers beginners or whatever.
Okay.
And Lehigh Valley has a so you have great short courses, 3 days.
Oh, 3 days. Okay.
You can get there. It's hands on, and you'll see. You know, this is really something I want to do or not.
Wow.
And then start from there. Well, or, you know, build your beehives during the winter, order your bees, and get started the following spring.
Wonderful. Bea, this was a fascinating hour and stuff. And again, can you just let us know one more time how to get a hold of you, where you're at, and telephone numbers or websites?
So we are again, located 54 Rick Road in Milford. Website is tassetapiaries.com. Telephone number is 908-264-4504. Facebook page, you know, you're more than welcome. We are open every day from 9 to 5 except Mondays.
Oh, okay.
Monday is a day off for us.
So that's why she's here today talking to everybody. Well, again, this was fascinating and all, and I encourage and invite all of our radio listeners to take advantage of the location. It's a local place to be able to go. Nice day trip to go out there, get some honey, get some education, possibly become an apiarist yourself in your backyard. And we look forward to seeing everybody next Monday with our next guest. So have a great week and get healthy, Hunterdon.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was...
USA Radio News.
First Lady Melania Trump underwent treatment today for a kidney condition and is expected to remain at Walter Reed National Military Medical Hospital for the rest of the week. That's according to the White House. The White House said she went through an immobilization procedure and had no complications. Earlier today in Israel, the U.S. Embassy officially moved from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem. Part of the U.S. contingent on hand was Jared Kushner. Kushner talked about what this move means to the United States and Israel.
Israel is a sovereign nation with the right to determine its own capital, the same right that is enjoyed by every other country in the world. In taking this action, the United States has also chosen to strengthen the bond between our two countries. Our special bond is the envy of nations throughout the world.
Former Senate Majority Leader Harry Reid underwent surgery today for pancreatic cancer at Johns Hopkins Hospital in Baltimore. A person close to Reid said the cancer was caught early. This is USA Radio News.
Okay, so the big question for any decision you're going to make, is this actually going to work? Well, if you've heard about MediShare, which is a brilliant way of sharing healthcare costs, you may have wondered that. Does it work? Well, so did Dr. Stuart Hoover, who initially joined to save a lot of money. The typical family saves about $500 a month. Stuart saved even more.
When we first joined MediShare, we were immediately going from a little over $1,600 a month down to $460 basically a month.
So that's wonderful, but then his wife needed emergency surgery and the bills added up to $160,000.
So we were seeing the bills coming in, and then the bills were being paid. Portions were being shared, and the end result of this is this bill was taken care of.
Yes, MediShare works, and it's so easy to get your questions answered too, so why not? You can call right now, 833-39-BIBLE. That's 833-39-BIBLE, 833-39-BIBLE.
Another big space rock is about to make a pass by our planet. USA Radio Network's Chris Barnes says it's around the size of the Statue of Liberty.
Asteroid 2010 WC9 is expected to pass by our planet at about half the distance to the moon on Tuesday.